Listen to more news from WBEZ anytime on the WBEZ app. Start each day informed. Tap and listen live or on demand. Available on iOS and Android.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. Since I moved to this cultural powerhouse that is Chicago, I've been at the theater quite a bit lately. And as a former and quite amateur thespian myself, I'm into it. A couple weeks ago, I saw a play called Purpose at Steppenwolf Theater. It's brand new, and it has some greats. I recognize Tamara Tooney from Law & Order, SVU, and Harry Lennox from a show I've been binging recently, The Blacklist. And the artistic director at Steppenwolf, Glenn Davis, plays the main character's brother. Oh, and did I mention the director is Felicia Rashad? Yeah, the Felicia Rashad. So at this point, I really don't need to do much more to convey the greatness on stage. But I have to say, I was especially struck by the lead actor. His name is John Michael Hill. You might have seen him on your TV screen in Detroit 187 or Elementary, but he's actually from Waukegan.
You know, it's right on Lake Michigan. It's kind of lush. Ray Bradbury wrote Dandelion Wine, I believe, about Waukegan.
And this story about how John discovered theater as a youngin is too cute and kind of a dream.
I think we were learning to write, and I wrote a short story about my brother getting lost at the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago, which was a true story. And my elementary school turned it into a play. And I was sitting there in the auditorium watching this thing I wrote come to life, and the actor playing my brother, Lost, just sort of inspired me to start auditioning for the school plays.
He has come a long way from school plays. John is a really versatile actor, which serves him with the character in Purpose, because the play is dealing with a lot of different themes.
Solitude versus engagement with community is an argument that comes up, and then what it means to make a family and how that is shifting. There's also mental health themes.
Purpose also talks about neurodiversity and sexuality and the generational differences in how we label ourselves. But generally, it's about the dysfunctional family of a former civil rights leader. And John's character, Nazareth, or Naz for short, is the son that is not living up to his family's expectations.
Nazareth is the narrator of Purpose. He walks the audience through this story. He is sort of the master of ceremonies, as Ms. Felicia Rashad would put it. So he's sort of in control of what everybody's seeing. And he comes from a religious, political family. His father is a civil rights, former civil rights leader. His mother is a very sharp lawyer, and his brother is a popular political figure. Mm-hmm. And he's coming home for a homecoming of sorts. And you just learn that Nazareth is a very solitary person. You learn over the course of the play why a bit more. But he's the type of person who could be in the woods for weeks at a time by mm-hmm. himself. He's a nature photographer taking pictures. So that sort of resonated with me. I'm sort of the son that moved away from home and, okay. and has very long stretches by myself and comes home to see the family. It's interesting. One of the challenges was I wanted him to have a certain way that he deals with people in the actual action of the play. And that he is an introvert. And then perhaps when he's speaking to the audience, it's this other, more idealized version of himself, because he could sort of share wow. as much as I can. I'm trying to really look people in the eye and pull them into the action of this play, give them context for what they're about to see. And it's been a journey. I'm getting a little more comfortable with that. I mean, as an introvert, this is sort of like the perfect storm. there's a spotlight on me for half the play. And it's just me up there with those 3-page long monologues.
Yeah. I mean, you an actor, John. How you gonna say you like uncomfortable as an introvert on stage? How do you reconcile that? I mean, even when the spotlight isn't on you for most of the product, for so much of the production.
Usually, I get to put on the character
Okay.
and be in the action of the play, and I have this the playwright's words, and I'm using it, and we're doing something. And for the most part, you're aware of the audience, but you're really trying to disappear into the life of the play, whatever's happening on the stage.
Ah, but you're breaking the fourth wall a little bit.
The breaking of the fourth wall,
Got you.
there's not much artifice there. So there's a lot more of me in Nazareth than I think there usually is with the other characters I've played.
So you're working with the legendary Felicia Rashad.
Yeah,
Coming
the
from a
queen.
family and a legacy of performers and just beautiful artistic work. I know Felicia Rashad as like America's mama, right? You know, it's giving very maternal energy. I wonder what type of energy as a director she was able to create for y'all on the set.
It was that, honestly, and it was sort of amplified because we had a task at hand, but there was a warm, nurturing tone that she set in the room. It was one of the more fulfilling processes I've had with a director. She obviously is an incredible actor and has an incredible understanding of human nature. She just has access to her experience. So if you have a question or if she's seeing something on stage, she can bring you little nuggets and whisper in your ear about just the human circumstances that your character's in. That help inform. And she asks a lot of questions, which is great. She doesn't always prescribe what she wants you to do, but she's also one of the more like humble artists. There was one day where she was sort of at the end of a long week, was like thanking us for always taking her notes. And we all sort of looked at each other like, you're Felicia
Right, you know you Felicia Rashad, right?
Rashad. But that's who she is. She's still amazed to be collaborating with people and to be given the reverence that she's given. And I think she does the most with it. She kept us calm. The play was still being written as we were working on it, so there could have been nerves about, not being ready for opening or whatever, but she always kept a very calm room, and that sort of permeated through the rest of the company.
The first scene in the show starts out like a one-man show. This is another thing that I just keep coming back to when I think about the show. It must have been 15 minutes, of you just kind of talking. You really fill up that stage. You're painting a picture for us, where you are, what you're doing in your life. Tell me about the process of bringing that monologue to life.
It was very tough because it's not like in the stage directions he says who the actor is speaking to. So I was concerned. I was trying to capture the tone because we didn't really know how the play ended. So I'm like, did things go wrong after dinner? And I'm speaking to d detectives. Am I giving my TED talk? Am I at the pearly gates?
I'm at the pearly gates. I love this. Like, where am I? What's the context here?
I think ultimately I've settled on literally just speaking to the people in the room. Whatever's happening is happening right now, and I'm just giving it to you all. I sort of experimented with the more extroverted version of him, this being his idealized version of himself that he's sharing with the audience. And then as the action of the play goes, he's sort of affected more emotionally by it, because there's in the second act, he has a confrontation with his friend who has shared something about their relationship that he wanted to keep a secret. Mm-hmm. And they have sort of an exchange that leaves him a bit shaken and
yes.
upset. And that's sort of maybe the start of when the action of the play starts to affect his storytelling. I think there's in the first act, there's a lot of removal. He's able to be like, this is what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're, you know, going through the play, it became clear that you could use some of what's happening in the action of the play to inform his narration.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also that the more we learn about the character, the less he can perform his ideal self, his idealized self.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, that's what I felt, you know, when I was watching. I'm like, huh. This is starting to break down a little bit. I'm getting the real now, you know, especially in Act Two. So
y'all are also like, you know, you're another character in the play, especially last night. We had folks, you know, it felt like church. People was talking back and mm-hmm. I got to interact. You know, that's when live theater is the best. We're really all in that room having the experience together. And whatever that call and response is different every night. But I think that's. We know we're doing our job when people are talking back.
Yeah. You are from Illinois. You've spent a lot of time in Chicago. Purpose is set here. Where do you really feel Chicago the most in this play?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe conversations with Harry Lennox's character, Solomon Jasper Jr. He talks about the movement, and I think a lot of people immediately think of like Selma and stuff like that in terms of the civil rights movement. But there were some big events in Chicago as well, with Martin Luther King coming here for a housing march and what he was met with here. So that's deeply rooted in our history in Chicago as well. So when there's towards the end of the play, there's a fairly long conversation between my character and his father. And he's going back and talking about some of those civil rights figures and how they affected his life and how he felt the presence of God during the civil rights movement. And yeah, that might be the most potent moment for me.
You're talking about, you know, this political and religious figure, you know, and that as a through line between the play and what is actually Chicago. And, you know, I'm thinking about the fact that this is not the first time you've played a character with a biblical name. You played Moses in Passover.
That's right.
Which also premiered at Steppenwolf back in 2017. Do you feel a through line between the storylines or through the characters? Thinking back on that, do you feel like there's something there about these kind of religious undertones or overt tones?
So far, mostly I've played like religious figures, preachers, or detectives.
Interesting.
I grew up Jehovah's Witness in Waukegan and was really deep into theocratic ministry school. Like, I was studying the Bible. I was giving sermons from a very young age. We were, you know, learning how to be elders in the congregation one day. So
you
know, give us a scripture, we'd write a little sermon, and then they would sort of grade us on how we did, whether we wrote something that really illustrated what the scripture was talking about, what our fluency was like. This is probably how I got comfortable enough speaking in front of people on
stage.
I was
about to ask. I'm like, okay, so this is part of your training too, right?
Absolutely. And though I'm not in that faith anymore, for some reason, religious undertones on stage, in theater, sort of stirs something up in me. I guess it's in my DNA now. It's like in my bones. Yeah. It's something I love to explore creatively.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's some similarities. Theater feels spiritual to me.
Oh, anyway. Yes.
You know, I'm in there maybe an hour before this play going over these speeches, and it just feels like a chapel where you have to quiet the outside noise and focus on a task. It's sort of like a meditation. And then when you get people in, you want to give them something that they can take out into the world and be satiated and inspired. So it's a very similar thing, I feel like. Hmm.
Yeah, thank you. That really makes me think. I grew up in the church also, like deep. So, yeah. And yeah, again, like I do different types of performance in my life and it definitely resonates. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I want to kind of end on this this question going back to purpose. This play has evolved quite a bit up until this point, up until the day, the moment almost that y'all were about to perform it to the masses. And it has the potential to evolve even more. Do you feel like you've evolved as an artist in this time that you've been working on this play?
I hope so. I hope so. Every time out, I say, wow, I didn't think I could pull that off. Mm. This process went against everything that I've come to know as my process. I'm usually mostly memorized before rehearsal starts, so that all of rehearsal time is really spent not on learning it, but the refining the scene work and the character and finding the most compelling way to tell the story. With this process, with receiving so much of it while we were already in process, mm-hmm. it's been more about letting go and just the attack of learning it and making choices right away and being spontaneous. And it has certainly given me the confidence that if I have to put something together with a short amount of time, I can do it. Whereas I would shy away if there was, like, I think I was offered Hamlet at one point and it was like maybe a week or two before they were supposed to start rehearsal. And I was like, no, I'm not going to learn. I think, you know, after going through this process, I think it's possible to just say yes to some things and without knowing how it's going to turn out and just commit and give it your all and let the chips fall where they may, so to speak.
John Michael Hill is an actor and ensemble member at Steppenwolf Theater. John, thank you so much. This was a pleasure.
No, thank you for your amazing, insightful questions. I'm feeling energized and I appreciate you having me.
You can catch John in Purpose at Steppenwolf Theater now through April 28th. Get tickets and more info at steppenwolf.org. And that's it for today. Thank you to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing The Rundown, and to Ariel Van Cleve for editing the show. Brendan Banizak is our executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening to the show. I'll talk to you later.